Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Taylor.
And together, we're the Anxiety Chicks.
Each week, we will dive deep into a different topic about anxiety and the real-life experiences we all go through,
while giving you all the top tools and tips you need for your journey to recovery.
Our degrees may say therapist and dietitian, but together, we are just real chicks on our own healing journeys, too.
Join us as we take you from panic to power and reduce the stigma of mental health. Remember, you're never alone, and we're all in this together. Hi, healers. Allison here. So I want to talk to y'all a little bit about one of our new sponsors, BetterHelp. I'm so excited to tell you about this online counseling platform because as a licensed therapist, I'm a huge advocate of mental health awareness and truly believe in providing affordable counseling services to anyone, anywhere. Let's face it, there's so many areas in the United States and around the world that can make it so difficult to find affordable counseling. And especially if you live in a more rural area, it can be really hard to find a counselor, which is why I love this online platform. BetterHelp is an online mental health healing platform that provides online counseling and matches you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's a professional counseling service done securely online and is available worldwide. What's even better is that there are a number of different licensed counselors who specialize in all different areas of mental health. BetterHelp makes it so easy to log onto your account at any time and contact your therapist directly. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses and can schedule as many weekly video or phone sessions as you would like. As a therapist, I know that it's not always possible to find the right therapist for your needs, especially the very first time. So BetterHelp has actually made it so easy to facilitate great therapeutic matches. And if you don't find a connection with your first counselor, there's absolutely no charge to change counselors if you ever need to. How amazing is that? And if you find that you're struggling financially, they also have financial aid available. So we have a special offer for all Anxiety Chick listeners today. Sign up now and receive 10% off your first month. Just visit betterhelp.com/theanxietychicks. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, /theanxietychicks, and join over 500,000 people who are taking charge of healing their mental health with an experienced counselor today. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Chicks podcast. I'm Allison Sepinera.
And I'm Taylor.
And we are back. And we're excited to be back. And we're going to just like jump into our topic today in a little bit, of course. But we're going to always just touch base on what was been going on this week. For me, I don't know. Let's start with you, Taylor, because for me, it's been a week. So how are you?
It's been a week as well. I almost canceled my trip. I don't know if you followed my stories at all, but I like posted like as I was like going, I posted like all my thoughts and I saved them to a highlight because I'm like, someone will come back to this. And even like I went back and read everything I posted and was like, wow, like I was so rational in that moment. So the night before our flight, and like I've even like talked myself through it. Like I went on those flights. Remember, like even during the pandemic, I flew. And I was just like, oh, it's easy. Like flying's easy. It wasn't even like about the flying. I don't even know what happened. And I haven't had like a true panic attack in like 4 to 5 years now.
Yeah.
And I literally felt like I lost control of my body. I didn't sleep for 1 second the night before. Our flight was at 8 a.m. I could not sleep. And my body was like uncontrollably shivering. Like uncontrollably. And I, at one point, tapped my husband and was like, I think we need to cancel the flight. Like, I cannot go. And so ended up going. And yeah, well, it was just a lot.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Rewind. So tell me, how did you end up getting to the – how did you end up going and feeling
I was bawling
like surviving?
My eyes out. So my dad agreed to drive us to the airport.
Okay.
So – the morning we drove my car over to their house and with our luggage in it and whatever. And I walk in to the house and I see my mom and I just start bawling my eyes out. And then my mom starts crying because she's like, I just want you to have fun. And like, I was like, I just don't feel like this is fun. Like, I was like, I just feel like this is almost torture. Like, I don't want to go. I just felt like, and then I just got to the point where I told myself, I was like, whatever. I was like, oh my gosh, freak out. Like, have a freak out. Like, act dramatic. What's going to happen to you? Like, you're not going to die. It's just going to be absolutely torture, but you'll get there. And so I was just like, I cannot do this. Like, I thought of like what the pros and cons of canceling versus the pros and cons of going. And I was just like, canceling, it would like hang on me forever. Going, I have to face it. Like, you have to sometimes feel, and I kept saying my motto is like, feel the fear and do it anyways. And so I don't know what this was. I don't know why this one was so different. Like, I did not have this kind of anxiety before flying to my friend's wedding, which was during the pandemic in, remember? Like, that was even before the vaccine. It was like, I didn't have that kind of anxiety, and I don't know what it was. Maybe something I did learn is like a week vacation is not good for me. I need about like 4 days. After 4 days, I'm like, I have got to get home.
Yes. Like, well, wait, that's really good that you know that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that maybe that's like your threshold is like a couple days.
So then I'm in we did like the whole Pacific Coast from San Diego to Los Angeles. So I'm in Santa Monica. First of all, hate Santa Monica. Do not go, guys. I can tell you all the places to go in California. Don't go to Santa Monica.
Wait, why?
Oh my gosh, post-pandemic, it is run down and it is like homeless central.
Disgusting.
We had the worst time in Santa Monica. It was like horrible.
Wait, that's crazy. Yeah. Isn't that known as like, isn't Santa Monica? No. Oh, it wasn't? Okay.
I mean, like the Santa Monica Pier is like known in like movies and stuff, but like Venice Beach, it's like homeless central.
Oh
and
my gosh. Disgusting.
So we're in Santa Monica. And my husband's mom calls and she's on speaker and she was like, oh my gosh, I just heard like the Delta variant is like spreading like wildfire in Los Angeles and they're going into mandatory mask mandate. So when we're there, they're going into mandatory mask mandate.
Wow. This is like cherry on top for you.
Allison, like, I'm like, I literally called my mom and I go, get me out of here. And it was like the masses of people. Like, first of all, we were in a pandemic, right? Like, we weren't around a ton of people. And then all of a sudden I'm thrown into Los Angeles. I literally felt like COVID was just in the air. And then they're like, all these breakthrough cases with the vaccine. And I'm just like, I got to go. Like, I got to get out of here. I was like,
Wait a second. So the whole morning and the night before with travel, all that stuff, did you start realizing like when you were going that a lot of your anxiety was because you were scared of like COVID and stuff still?
No.
Oh, okay. What was it? Just like the flying and being scared of flying?
So I'm coming to the conclusion that like the past flights I've taken, so I have not been on like a true vacation without a plan. Like, so we went to Louisiana for a wedding. We went to San Francisco for family. We went to Montana for family. Like, we were meeting up with people. Like, there was a plan, like a reason we had to be there. And so this vacation was just very much so like, we're going to have fun. Like, it's like. Right.
But you wanted some structure. Like, you wanted to know maybe what you were going to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was just like I wasn't distracted by a plan of like, we're meeting up with these people. It was just like my husband and I like, okay, like, you know. And then also, you know, you see all that stuff on the news right now. And I don't recommend anyone with anxiety traveling. Wait till kids go back to school, because it's just like the airports are ridiculous. Yeah,
I heard.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I heard it's not fun at any airport. I heard JFK, someone just posted about JFK being like the worst for international travel right now.
I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure. Because that's the airport known to people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
If you can, I would just wait till kids go back to school, because I feel like everybody's like, post-pandemic, let's travel.
100%. Like, yeah.
We waited in like the security line on the way home for, I swear, an hour, and it was hot. And it was just like, I was like, I got to get out of here. Like, I was ready. So then we get through the gate on our way home and our flight's delayed like 2.5 hours. They go, we don't have a pilot. I'm like, by the grace of God, I will make it home. And we're sitting there and there's like three couples that are by us and they just looked so worn out. And you overhear them talking. And then I got into their conversation because they had to sleep at the airport because their flight was so delayed. They ended up missing their connecting flight and they had literally been at the airport for 24 hours. I was just like,
no,
oh,
I'm not
gosh.
Even kidding. Like, it is what you're describing is like
pure torture.
No, yeah. No, it's actually what you're describing is what I what has caused my travel anxiety even before the pandemic about airports and flying.
Yes.
Like that is always what I envisioned in my mind of like what literally would send me into a spiral is the airport just like that.
Yeah.
Like I, which is probably why I love road trips. So yeah, if I agree. Like just go on a road trip wherever you are around your
country.
Go
on a road trip. Wait for this whole. I love road trips.
Go, you know.
Wait for this whole like craze of like, I heard do not go to Florida right now. I heard everybody's traveling there. All these little families.
Who wants to go to Florida right now? It's like 110 degrees in Florida.
Just tons of families. I don't know.
I'm so happy you made it. I did see some of your stories about some of the stuff that you were doing while you were there for like self-care and healing, like taking walks and going.
Yeah, I did. I did. I started to get better and I was like sharing that with people, like because I did share in the beginning the extreme anxiety. I was like, guys, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Yeah. And so then after that, I was like sharing, you know, like I'm glad I faced the fear. I'm glad I felt it and went. Like I'm very thankful. But then by like day five, when we got to Santa Monica, I was like, get me the heck out of here. Called my mom. I was crying. I was like, I literally just want to change my flight. Like this isn't even fun to me anymore.
Right.
Because it was just like everybody was freaking out. And then this other thing is they're like mandatory mask mandate, but not into effect until Saturday at 11:59 PM. And I'm like, what?
Ooh, so like, we decided that
no one can get it on Friday or Saturday. Right. Only at Saturday at 11:59 PM. So then I'm just like, whatever.
Like I'm over
this place is disgusting. Mm-hmm. As in, like, just I just feel like everybody's there. It just felt overpopulated. I was like, I don't want to be here.
Oh my god,
I don't want to be famous. Heck no. If that's what fame is, they live a horrible life.
Are you kidding me? Exactly. No. So wait, what day did you actually come home?
Sunday.
Oh, so Sunday. So you made it. Okay.
I made it.
You made it. And it maybe even had a little bit of fun, right?
Yeah. But it's just like all this news about this Delta variant and they know nothing about it and just so much stuff. I'm just like, I do not want to
stop
travel.
Stop watching the news. Stop reading about literally. I mean, you're talking about this so much. I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I do. I know what the Delta variant is. But I literally set so much boundaries on the news that I watch. And I know how to stay informed.
I think it's because I was in LA.
Oh, okay. So you have to know. Okay. Well.
It was everywhere. Like, as in, like, the talk of it. Because they were going back in. Like, everybody vaccinated and unvaxxed must wear masks.
Okay, why is it anyway? Let's not get into that. Well, you're back and you're safe.
Yes.
And I'm very happy you made it, and I'm proud of you. And you should feel proud of yourself. You did
it. I'm proud of myself, but I know, and everybody should know. Nobody needs a week of vacation.
I know. I mean, listen. Some people can do. Here's the thing. I feel like I could do. You're right. I feel like I couldn't do more than without. Like actually having something to do.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely someone who I would go to the beach and be fine. I would like I love vacations where it is relaxing, where we can just go to the beach or, you know, and it's not like, oh, I have to wake up at 7 a.m. to do this. Like that's not fun for me either. But I love that flexibility, but I also love knowing that I'm not just like I actually am gonna be learning some history or I don't know, maybe like exploring a couple things, but nothing like too intense. I can't have like anything like intense where it's like itinerary.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I just feel like after 4 days, it's like I just wanted my routine and like my house and my, you know, I just wanted to be in my space.
And after a while,
you're just like, ah, I can only lay at the beach for so long. I know that sounds crazy.
No, that's true.
It's beautiful, but it's like, even like cost wise, I don't feel like anyone needs to do 7 days. It's just after a while.
No, that's true. It's true. Well, I'd be curious to hear from people about what their like worst vacation experiences have been.
Oh, I think it was just like, I think it was because so we did San Diego and Laguna Beach and like Newport, and that area was just like everybody was like so safe and just like calm people. You didn't see a lot of homeless and like crazy people. I mean, in Santa Monica, I literally had someone, I was drinking a Starbucks and a guy came up to me and goes, "Are you going to finish your drink? Because I'm so dehydrated." First of all, sir, this coffee is not going to hydrate you. Second of all, what? Like, what in the world? And like everywhere we went, like we went to this other stand and this guy was like, "Buy me a piece of pizza, please." And I was just like, they've, and then like we tried to lay out on the beach in Santa Monica and literally 7 people came up to us to buy stuff. I was just like, this isn't all even right. Peaceful.
This actually brings me to something that could be a really good episode, talking about vacation anxiety, because I did a reel like 2 weeks ago about how when I went to Florida, that whole thing with Florida, and how I have all these videos of me, you know, like by the pool and stuff, but I literally was having like panic attacks every day and couldn't even enjoy the beach, and my body, my stomach was so like in knots. And I posted this reel just saying, you know, I look like I'm having a good time, but honestly, I had the worst time. I couldn't even feel joy at all. And it was one of my top reels that I've done, because everybody was like, "Oh my gosh, I get like this too when I go away." And not even like the flight stuff. That's anxiety too, but like you almost can't even enjoy your vacation because your anxiety is so crippling.
I literally looked at my husband at one point. I was like, "I don't know why I just feel so depressed." Yeah. I was like, "I can't even put my finger on it." I was like, "God, this is like the most beautiful view."
Totally.
It's like, I don't feel joy. It's like, what's wrong with me? And it's like, is that ungrateful? And then I'm like, no, I think it's just hard for people with anxiety to let loose.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And then I also, well, I mean, also with me, when I was on this past vacation, I felt very like isolated. I was by myself. Like my sister's family was there, but they were all off doing stuff. And I just felt so alone in what I was going through.
Yeah.
I could not wait to get home. Like I literally was going to leave early, and I had driven, so I could have left at any time.
Right.
But I was just
How long was that drive?
I did it over 3 days there and back.
Did you like that?
I love driving. I love it
too, but I've never gone that long.
It would have been nice to have someone with me in the car, but I listened to a bunch of audiobooks and music.
So how many hours did you do a day?
Like 7.
7 a day?
7, maybe. Yeah. Maybe like 7 to both days and then 6 the one days. But that was the longest. I probably wouldn't do that again by myself, but definitely like driving. I've driven to Charleston from Philadelphia, and that's a really nice drive. And like I've driven up to Maine and the New England coast. Like that's beautiful. So anything
a road
looking
trip,
to do. Yes. Don't go on airplanes right now. If you live in the East Coast, drive up the New England coast to Maine. It is the most beautiful. Yeah. I think I just read something where Canada's now letting people in like a couple weeks. Yeah. So like drive up to Montreal, which is kind of where I hope I want to do soon. But yeah, I mean, we talked about this enough, I guess, but we should do an episode on vacation anxiety.
Absolutely.
I feel like that would
that
would be wonderful. But yeah, it's interesting that you had that experience. I've been sort of experiencing similar, not on vacation, but I've just been having days. And if anyone's been seeing my stories, it's very similar. Like it would look like I was depressed on my stories because I was crying a lot, but I've just been having a really bad anxiety, a lot related to my dad and the uncertainty with what's going on with him. And
yeah, what's going on? I thought he was doing better.
I mean, I don't know. He's doing okay, but he's also having these like really like mental health concerns. He has he's always had these dreams that were really vivid, but now he's having certain, like he's kind of paranoid about certain things. He's just confused. And it's been very, very hard to watch.
Is he medicated for the hip?
There's different medications. We're figuring it all out. There's all different types of medications he's on. So we're figuring that all out. We're trying to establish like what he should be on and shouldn't be on, all this
stuff.
So
that happened to my grandpa.
Really?
And they found out his sodium levels were out of whack from the medications. And it made him like literally crazy. Like my grandpa was crazy. We were like, this is not this is not him. Like we went to visit him and my mom was like, what is going on? And no one was like, because they don't know him. They don't know that that's not him. And they were just basically like, he's crazy. But they found out the medications that they had put him on something happened with his sodium levels. And then once they took him off of it, he was back to normal.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll look into that then. Thank you.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the medications definitely we know there can be, you know, different responses to them. So we're looking into that. I've talked to like a neuropsych that I know, and we're going to try and get some testing done. So he's better. He's okay. I mean, we've been going every day. My mom's been going every day for long periods of time, but I think there's just been something lately for me that makes me pretty discouraged about him ever coming home.
And yeah, I've noticed that about you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's been the hardest.
I think because you saw it as, oh, it would just be this amount of time.
Yeah.
And then it like got pushed, and then they were like, let's put him here. And then you keep like, and you're sacrificing a lot. I mean, you're always going and doing things and taking care, and that's a lot on you.
I feel like I'm not doing enough a lot of times for him. Like I just was away for 2 days and I feel so bad. Like I wasn't there to see I came to see an old friend who visited. But anyway, there's just a lot. I think if anyone knows about like taking care of someone or like people they love being sick or getting older, I feel like everyone, there's just not enough stuff you feel like you could do. And especially if your loved one is not living with you, it's like, I don't like to know that he's alone.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want him to be alone. So
okay. So he's in that, you told me he started the intensive physical therapy, right?
Well, so that's another thing. He was back in the hospital for a couple of days because he fell again in his whatever. I think I talked about this last time. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know the PT schedule now, but I think he did have it once last week, and the communication is so bad.
I know.
To stay on top of it so much, and it's just a lot to stay on top of. And so now
is that
it's
not
like,
so sad?
It's when really annoying.
Yeah. So I did a rotation in long-term care and short-term care with like rehabilitation, and it broke my heart to see if you didn't have family continually coming up there and advocating for your patient, they got neglected. Like their PT schedules were all messed up. And then because they get paid for insurance each day longer that the person stays. So.
Well, this place is not insurance. It's private pay.
Oh my gosh.
We're paying privately for this place. So. The communication needs to be,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm like, you just like reminded me actually.
And he can't advocate for himself at this moment. Cause like, I remember my grandpa, he couldn't voice that he was feeling a certain way cause he just was out of it. My mom was up there every single, I remember like as a kid, I never saw my mom that much like during that time because she had to go up there every single day I remember one time she was yelling at the people there.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I mean. Like you have to have you have to advocate for yourself, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it is what it is.
What did I just remind you?
You just reminded me. That's why I was just texting because we're supposed to have a meeting this Friday with another meeting just about this whole, I want to see the psych assessment they did. I want to see all of this stuff. And we're supposed to have a meeting. And like 2 days ago, they were, we have to check. We have to make sure the time works. And I said, oh, I forgot. And I just wanted to text, does 11 o'clock work this week?
Yeah.
Because no one's getting back to me. And I don't
know. They won't.
So whatever. So I just triple checked. And now I'm going to text them again, something else after I'm done. But anyway, so that has been on my mind, and I'm more emotional about it than I was, I guess, in the beginning, because seeing him go through these episodes is like traumatic.
It is.
If you've ever seen anyone,
it's not your dad.
No. Yeah. Exactly. It's not
your dad.
And you know, it's just hard. And then I'm just, you know, I have so much anxiety and like with what we're going to get into the anxiety of online dating in like a couple minutes.
Because you're going through that too.
Because yes, because I'm going through that. And I, you know, I'm dating someone now, but we're still, it's still in like beginning, and we're kind of like, you know, that again is that whole anxiety that I have about dating doesn't just go away. But as it gets to a point where we are kind of getting to know each other more, I have more questions and, you know, things are uncertain that I want to like talk about.
Right.
So figuring out what I talk about, figuring out how to like approach certain conversations without my like whole fear of just like the person leaving me. And
right.
I have this kind of like belief about myself that I've been working on so much throughout my life is like feeling like I'm too much for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the relationships I've had, I used to believe, which I know I would just be so hard on myself because I thought that it ended because I was just too much. I would, you know, I'm emotional and I struggle with anxiety, and a lot of people can't handle, I guess, the different responses to it. So I'm just really scared. Like this, he's going to find out like all like how I work and like how I am with things, and then it's not going to work out. This is just something that replays in my head.
Right.
Every day. And that's just been louder a lot the last couple of days for me. Because I guess the more that I'm vulnerable and the more I get to know someone, then I just can't like be fake all the time, you know, and just pretend like everything's fine, because right now everything's not fine. And not because it's him. It's just in my life, not everything is great. I mean, I can have fun and stuff still, but there's things are hard right now. So it's kind of like,
voiced that to him?
No. I mean, yes, but not like in the way that I don't think he knows the extent of like how it affects me every day.
Right.
And also like figuring out like how I can get support from someone that I'm seeing about this, because I need support and I don't feel like I'm getting it, but I don't even know if I don't think he knows that it's this
deep. He knows how to support, or if you even need support.
Right. But like, I don't even think he knows like it's this deep with me.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know.
Hard stage to be like online dating, but also going through so much with your family.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I can't just like dive in with this guy. Hey, just so you know, like, here's my life story.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, and so here's the thing. Let's talk about online dating from like the beginning, because obviously this is something I have a lot more experience with than you do because you're married. But I'm sure you have like friends and stuff that you
absolutely
know and
yeah
things that people have told you about.
Hi healers, it's Allison here. So I want to tell you a little bit more about how Taylor and I got started with our podcast. And the platform we've been using, which is Anchor, has been so user-friendly and so amazing. I just want to tell anyone else out there that is thinking about starting a podcast, Anchor is the way to go. First of all, it's completely free, so hello. Second of all, there's so many creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. It's crazy. I'm recording this right from my phone, and it literally just looks like the record button on your videos or your Instagram. So it really is such a user-friendly platform. And the coolest thing is you can add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes too. And the possibilities are seriously endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never even seen before. Anchor also distributes your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many other platforms. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And like I said, it's so user-friendly. I recommend Anchor. Go to anchor.fm to get started, or the Anchor app. See you later, healers.
Sorry, everyone. A little bit of technical difficulties. Whatever. Anyway. So we're talking about online dating. And what I was saying before was I want to get into like the early stages of online dating, because like I said, you probably have friends. And so I know you're married, and so I'm sure you have friends and people that tell you all horror stories about it.
Absolutely.
I myself.
Actually, wait, hang on. Wait. I haven't heard that many horror stories.
Oh, really?
Really?
That's
no.
that's good.
I feel like if you're using the right app. So I feel like there's a huge thing with like knowing what apps to use. So like my friends have definitely said like Tinder, you have some like creepier guys.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. Wait. So yeah. Let's get into this because okay. Let's see. I've been online dating off and on for probably like 10 years or whatever, whenever it started. You guys, I've been dating my entire life. But I will say the apps definitely have changed. So also and I don't even know how old you were, but the very, 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 very first online dating site was Match.com.
I remember seeing my teacher on it. Like, I kid you not, I was in fourth grade and I came home and I was like, I remember my friend and I telling my mom, like, this lady, like, looks at guys all day long. And, like, she barely taught. Like, she just was on Match.com all day long.
This lady looks at guys all day long. Okay. That's probably not the best thing that you knew that as about your teacher.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What? Okay. But no, I remember because Match.com, I was like, this is so cool. But, you know, back when, whenever that was, if you were in fourth grade, I mean, I was probably in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, who is going online to find a date? What? This is so weird.
Really?
I remember thinking, like, judging it so bad. I mean, in my 20s, I will not speak mean about myself, but I was not the best version of myself in my 20s.
Okay.
So it was all judgment stuff. I judged everything. And I just remember, like, thinking to myself, who is doing that? And then I was on it about 6 months later. and thinking, wow, this is so cool. I can't believe how many guys I'm meeting. I was always the person too. When I went out to bars and stuff, I hardly ever got hit on. No, I would get hit on, but I just had no game. I didn't know. I didn't really like who I was. I had really low self-esteem. It was not the person going out and being like, yeah, let's just like meet a guy tonight. Then I would get actually really drunk and I'd meet lots of guys. So that was all my insecurities because I had to drink in order to think I was worth something or I was pretty and all that stuff. So when the online Match.com started happening and all that, it was like, oh my gosh, all these guys are interested in me. This is so cool. And Match was you had to pay for, and it was a pretty like long profile. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, these guys are really serious. So that way too serious for me. I was not ready. Like, if there was a Tinder back when I was in my 20s, oh my gosh, I'm so glad there wasn't because I don't even know how I would. I'd be like swiping, right? And just having like a date every night. I feel like that's who I was back then. and that's totally fine if you do that. I mean, do you? I think it's great.
Wait, so back then you didn't have like anxiety about meeting up with someone?
Okay. Back then I had severe anxiety, but I masked it with drinking.
But like the idea of meeting, you said you would be like, you would have, if Tinder was then, you would have gone on a date every day.
Yeah, I probably would have gone and been drunk every day.
But like the thought of meeting up with them didn't make you anxious?
It did, but I always knew it made me anxious, but I'd always be drinking. So that helped like relieve my anxiety in the moment. It was totally unhealthy. I mean, I was numbing everything I was going through. I was so insecure with myself, but it almost was like and this probably still happens for some people, but it's almost like you have low self-esteem. And so the amount of people that are matching with you, it almost gives you that like high.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I bet.
You know, like, oh, okay. Well, John, I was just talking to for like a week and was so cute. I was so excited to meet up with him. Ugh, now he dropped off the face of the earth. But you know what? Brian and Steve, they just matched with me and they're really cute. So that's fine. So it's almost like, you know, this high, but like superficially, because back then, I don't know why I was on Match because I wasn't looking for a relationship. Right. I like kind of told myself I was, but deep down, now that I think about it, I wasn't looking for a relationship. So, you know, it was so much.
Maybe like you were trying to, since you said you were so insecure, you were trying to get self-worth through 100% men wanting you.
That's
like
exactly
just the idea.
100%. So like I would say now, anyone listening to this, if you relate to that, that you feel like you judge yourself or you don't really have a lot of self-worth or you are hard on yourself about who you are, or the way you look, or you just really, you just don't know who you are and you're on the dating apps, like ask yourself that question why you're on them.
Right.
Is it, do you want to just have fun? Then have fun. Cool. It's very, very hard for women to just go out and have fun, quote unquote, as far as like sexually, because when we're sexual with a guy, biologically, our chemicals that are released, like, you know, our oxytocin makes us connected to men. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking like heteronormatively with men and women right now. But for any type of LGBTQA, any kind of sexual orientation or gender, you know, we do have certain chemicals that connect us to each other when we're physically intimate. But I will say that, yeah, it's like a slippery slope when you really feel like, and I think that's where the anxiety comes in now for me still, is I'm still working on loving who I am. I think I know what I want a lot more. And so because I know what I'm looking for and it is a relationship, I will say like Tinder doesn't really work for me. I'm on it, but it is very much, I feel like I meet a lot more people who are not serious on Tinder.
I heard Tinder is like hookup culture.
Well, and that's what a lot of people have told me recently too. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, okay, this makes sense now why I am getting very interesting messages from guys on Tinder that are.
And I also heard that Tinder is easier to catfish, because you don't have to verify your identity, whereas like Hinge, you have to like verify your identity.
Did not know that, but I definitely know that about Hinge. I didn't know about Tinder.
So everyone says Hinge is the one where I think you have to put in like certain information to verify your identity, and it's the most secure. So this is actually from like a cop.
Oh, okay.
I forgot which of my friends told me this, but she was like, yeah, I was on Bumble. And I think Bumble, you have to like take a selfie, like a picture of yourself to get.
Yes.
Okay. But Hinge, you have to like prove your identity.
Okay. I'm on Hinge and I don't remember that, but maybe I did.
Supposedly it's the most secure.
Okay. You know what? That makes sense. It makes sense because I will say the three that I am on, Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge. Okay. I will say I'm not really actively on them at the moment because I'm, you know, kind of like, anyway, so I'm not actively using them at the moment, but I will say when I was actively on them, those three, Tinder, I don't know why I was still like, I don't know why I continue to use it because it is sort of like hookup, I feel like, but Bumble, Hinge has more like information.
Yeah.
You can put like a profile. You can put a profile.
Yeah.
And you can kind of like narrow down a little bit more of what you're looking for more than Bumble.
Right.
You can pay for all of these too, by the way. They're free, but you can also pay for all of them. And then you get way more options if you pay.
But then there's like some that you can like, oh, it's only a premium pay. So then you feel like you're with people if they're paying. You just, it's more of a like an idea of like, if we're all paying, you wouldn't think a catfish would pay.
So like, yeah. So like a Match.com or an eHarmony.
No, there's like new ones that are even like, I think one is like you could like
Farmers Only.
You have to approve your
for farmers.
No, there's like a luxury one, like a rich people.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. Well, there's Raya, which is for all the celebrities. Yeah.
Okay, Raya, but then there's something else.
Yeah, wait, no, there is because I applied for it and I was like 100,000 the list on the, it was like 100,000 people in front of me that they he put you on a waiting list. And I was like number like 100,050. I was like, okay, I guess that's
okay. Because I know this because we have this friend who she got divorced and then she started dating. And so she like did a whole like blog post on dating like at her age because she's 47 maybe.
Okay.
And so like it was like starting all over again. She has four kids and yada, yada, yada. And she reviewed all of the dating apps. I'm trying to pull it up, but you can keep talking while I pull it up.
Okay. I would want to hear this.
Yeah. I know. She like talked about so many I've never heard of.
Well, so I think like, you know, obviously everyone's different with the anxiety they have related to dating in general or online dating. But I will say one of the things that I started doing that I think maybe a lot of listeners will probably be in their car or wherever they are going, what? Why do you ask for that? But I literally asked to have a video date. And now in the age of the pandemic, I feel like more people were open to that. But for some reason, either having a video chat before you meet up or talking on the phone. What is wrong? Why are people so scared of talking on the phone?
Okay, like wait. I'm like that.
What
I'm
is like this? That. Okay, tell me what that. This is, because I was
that
so excited.
So that is just like breaking a wall of anxiety. That like the. I mean, you're good at that stuff though. Like, but for me, and I feel like my generation, we're such a texting generation.
I know.
Anytime we can text, we want to text. So, okay, I want to like go through this though. I feel like helping the anxiety of online dating is by step one, finding an app that you know is credible and starting there.
Okay,
wouldn't you say?
I like that.
Okay, so here's the thing. So I found it and they said Tinder, the hookup app. So, I mean, if that's what you want, then yes. Hinge, okay. Very popular for 20s and 30s. So this lady said she got hit on by a lot of 20 and 30 year old guys.
Interesting. And she's 47?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some guys like that. So, but she wasn't looking for a 20 and 30 year old man. So,
no, that's
Bumble,
crazy.
The women make the first move and you get 24 right. hours to make the move or you're unmatched. Catfish levels are low because Bumble will face match your profile with the selfie to guarantee that the pictures are actually you. She said she didn't find this app nearly as much chatty, flirty as Hinge. So not as much flirtiness as Hinge.
Interesting.
And she didn't find as many matches that she was actually excited about. She talked to one guy. She met for a couple weeks. They had like mutual friends, blah, 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 blah. And then she posted something called an app called The League.
League. That's it.
Dating intelligently. So you have to actually apply to become a member. The league aims to find the best of the best and only accepts around 20 to 30%. She said, I didn't love that I could only see 3 profiles a day, but I still had good luck there. So she met a CEO of a company on this app, but he was a douche. So, and then there's one called Luxy.
Okay.
This is an app for the rich and beautiful. Your profile has to be voted in to become a member. Okay. If you get an over 50% approval rating, you're in.
That sounds so horrible.
I know.
I'm sorry. What? Like rich and beautiful? Whose standards?
I guess
that
the
is
people
so superficial.
On the app vote. You in.
All right. So I would love, I'm sure everyone on that app is finding true love because all they care about is rich and beautiful
yeah.
people.
So then there's like, Elite Singles. So she said, I never got into this one and also deleted it quickly. I got sent a lot of smiles and didn't really like the format. The only message I actually received was, how are you?
Here's the interesting thing. I forgot that about Bumble. I forgot that it's women that reach out to men. I forgot about that. And now that you reminded me, it's like, oh, right. Like the guy I'm seeing, I met him on Bumble. And I'm like.
Yeah, she had the most luck on Bumble at her age.
But I'm thinking
to
myself.
I'm thinking maybe Hinge isn't for older?
No, I met the other guy on Hinge that I was with.
Well.
But that didn't work out. But no, I like them both equally. But I do think it's interesting that I would be so curious what type of guy is on Bumble because they know that the women has to reach out to them.
Right.
Like, I don't know how I feel about that because
– why is there an app that – the woman has to reach out, but there's not an app that the guy has to reach out first.
We need the science on this because I have so many assumptions in my brain, but I'm not going to say them. But also with Bumble, like, I feel like, I don't know, with Bumble, do they have an option of other genders and like sexual orientations? It's not just men to women.
Oh.
Now I'm thinking about that.
That's weird. That's weird.
You know what I mean? That's kind of because like, that's crappy.
Ooh, that is weird.
So I'm curious. I don't know. Anyone email us or DM me about that if you're LGBTQ plus and use Bumble or whatever. Because I know there are specific apps too for that community for LGBTQ, right?
Yeah, but they should be like Grindr. Every app.
No, of course. I agree.
Wait, that's
and
so
they
weird.
Are on different apps.
Because if you were non-binary, who?
Exactly.
And right, normally nowadays, wait. Normally nowadays, when you pick gender, you can say you don't want to disclose. So then, oh my gosh.
Wow. I wonder if that's also anxiety provoking, right? You know, like that
yeah,
type of.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, and trying. So yeah,
or
but
if
I
you're
think.
You're open to all, you know, like if you're open to anyone, why, who speaks first on that
right,
app?
Right, exactly.
Wow.
But I will say I like that. So the first step is, yeah, picking an app or picking the type of site that you feel like you trust. Right.
Right.
I would say also like up there with before picking the app that you should know what you're looking for out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are you looking for? Are you wanting to be in a relationship? Like, do you want that? Are you looking to just kind of have fun? Maybe you're – I mean, I've seen this too. And again, I'm no judgment to all lifestyles. Like, are you a couple that, like, is looking for someone else to, like – I don't know. Are you polyamorous? Are you – you know, what are you, like, looking for out of this?
And I would say putting that in your – like, descripting that in your bio.
Yes. Yeah.
So that, like, people know and you don't get your hopes up by matching with someone and then them being like, this isn't what I want. And it's like, well, you saw that in my bio.
Yeah. It'll save you a lot of time and energy, especially, and anxiety.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can tell you firsthand, I feel like I learn more and more about what I want just by ruling guys
dating.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. By knowing what I don't want as I date. Which maybe a lot of people do, but being able to really focus on yourself and also like really, we talked a lot about like your self-worth, trying to like work on loving who you are and also living your life a little bit. I mean, listen, I'm going to be 41 next week and
next week. How's it been a year?
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I still remember my 40th birthday. Like it was yesterday. I know. I'm just like, what? Oh, another God. Year? Okay. But never like don't settle.
Yeah.
Don't settle. Okay. Being alone is really not that bad. It's actually liberating. And guess what? Statistically, the older you get when you get married, the more likely you are to stay married.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know what you want and you're
exactly.
Like- You're going to meet someone after dating people that you're like, nope.
No, I mean, and this is research based. There's studies that have gone out that, you know, the older that you are and
absolutely.
The older that when you get married, the more likely the marriage will last. So, yeah. So I think, you know, just a lot of and then you were talking about, which I think we could tap into for a couple minutes. When is the right time to meet someone in person? Like IRL.
See, that's what would freak me out. I think I would match with a lot of people and like maybe like text a lot. And then when it came to like meeting up with the person, I would bail.
So what is that you feel like you would be anxious about?
That's so uncomfortable for me. Like, oh my gosh. That is so awkward. Ah!
Wait.
I'm like,
what's awkward? Just meeting
like,
someone new?
Yeah. And then like showing up and being like, hi, like, what do you talk about? Ah, no.
Well, you also no. haven't dated in how long? I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It probably would just be such a different experience for you. You'd be like, well, what's going on? I've been doing it for so long. And I'm just like, what? My gosh, I could go on a date in like a half hour and be fine.
Like, real okay. But I feel like there are a lot of people like me, though, who like maybe
no.
don't ever or have an issue. Their struggle with dating is actually meeting up with the person.
So here's what I think is the hardest part about that. In real life, I think you struggle with the uncomfortable feeling of not knowing someone, right? And you wanna be your best self, but like you also wanna be yourself. But is your best self yourself? Not all the time, you know? Like,
okay, wait. And I'm also too nice. So like I wouldn't know, like, if they're like, yeah, we should do this again. It's like, yeah, I'm like, you're like 12 months in and you're still dating this person. You're like, I don't even like them.
How about if you were on the date and you were not feeling him at all, but you were like, okay, I'm ready to go. And he tries to kiss you.
Ah, that's torture.
How about that?
Turn around and sprint. Wait, I just had a good tip.
Okay.
Maybe if you're like me, the first date, scheduling a group date.
Well, so actually Hinge used to be that. Hinge used to actually be that, if I'm remembering right. Correct me if I'm wrong, you guys. But Hinge, I want to say like 10, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or something, Hinge or some other type of website was group dates. You connect with each other through friends on Facebook, and then you basically
– What?
No, because I did it once. And then – you connect with someone and then they get two friends and you get two friends and you guys meet up in a group. That was one of the dating.
Wow.
I thought that was what Hinge was back in the day.
I mean, I don't know, but that sounds amazing.
I don't know. Maybe they still have something like that now.
I think that would be good for me. Like if it was like, even like my friend and her husband or something, like going with them, it's just way more comfortable. Like if he's weird, we can just us three leave. It's like, yeah.
They had something like that. And it's left my mind, but they did. And I don't know if they still have it. But yeah, that's true. I think a lot of people probably would be more comfortable with groups and stuff.
Yeah.
I get that. But yeah, let me tell you, the amount of times I was on dates and I would either. I always do the, it was so nice to meet you. Thank you so much. And then I just walk right away. I don't like give it any time when I know. I don't want to.
Oh my God, I can't
and then,
do that.
Here's the thing that though, like you do have to kind of be a little assertive and you have to know going into a date. I don't want to, like maybe you just, for me, the last times I've been dating, I knew I was not going to kiss anyone on the first day. I just didn't want to. I was on a different type of schedule in my brain of dating.
Right.
And even if I thought he was cute or whatever, I wasn't going to kiss him. I just wasn't going to do that yet. And so I just knew that. And it came easy for me to say, you know, okay, I had such a nice time. I'd like to do this again. And we'd hug or whatever. But I just walked away. And maybe – I think there were a couple times maybe they tried. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't kiss on the first date. I'm sorry. But I'd really like to see you again. And I just said that.
Yeah.
And maybe that sounds old-fashioned to some people, but I am 41, so I remember, you know, back in the day. And, you know, it's fine. Maybe it's a little awkward, but it's okay when things are awkward. Who cares?
Because, like, you have to also remind yourself, like, they're doing this too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what? Being – the thing is, when it comes to, like, whatever with dating and meeting someone online, anxiety and – excitement, those emotions, the same thing, there's very similar responses we have to both emotions in our body when we're anxious or when we're excited.
Right.
They're very, the same things in our body happen, right? And so we might be feeling like anxious. Of course, our mind may be spiraling about some things, but you have to remember that maybe you're kind of excited too.
Right.
Right? Like this is, it should be like fun. Try not to have so many expectations about this person, right? You know, maybe even if you've been talking to them for 4 weeks on text, you still do not know this person. You have never met them yet. You're meeting them for the first time. Try to lower your expectations and remind yourself that you're just going to have fun. Be yourself as much as you can. And if you're ready to leave, you're allowed to leave. If you don't want to kiss the person, you don't have to kiss the person. If you are having a great time and maybe you want to get another drink, you can do that too. That's the best thing my therapist ever said to me was like, there are no rules. Society tries to establish all these rules.
Yes.
And honestly, when you like someone, there's no rules. Just enjoy the person and get to know them.
Right.
If you want to sleep with them, sleep with them. Who cares? Just be safe.
Have you ever just gotten up and left?
I feel like I was close to doing that.
Check, oh, no. Please. Check.
No, I would have done it, except I texted my friend to come save me, and she came to the bar, and then he got up and left.
Oh, that's smart.
This happened recently. I think that's about it. Yeah, I think I talked about it. The guy that was – oh, he was terrible. And we
Wait, was this one drinking? Uh-huh. Yeah, yes.
And he just kept talking about, you know, just like a lot of issues that I did not agree with.
Yeah,
and
you were like, ah.
He was so rude and terrible. He was like – had a huge ego. And yeah, my friend came.
Okay. But,
and I was smart. Like, bye, see you later. And then I just ignored him and he just left. But he also – he paid, so thanks. But
thanks, bud.
Anyway, so I think that that's probably the best thing to do is to just know what you want and don't be afraid to go have fun. And, you know, online dating, you do – it's very hard to weed out a lot of the people. There are a lot of freaks, right? Sorry. I mean,
so how
everyone
do you,
likes
how
their
do you
different
that?
Things. But for me, I – okay, actually – do you know what I read one time? That one of the – and I tried this for like 10 guys in a row. The initial message that you send a guy – well, see, I'm talking heteronormatively. But okay, a guy or a girl, whatever. But this was for a girl to a guy. A girl message a guy. A woman said, okay, ask them a question, truth or dare. And if they answer truth, the question – ask them, when's the last time you cried? And if they say dare, you say, I dare you to tell me the last time you cried. And for some reason, the like response back from guys will let you know their like personality type or something. And it actually worked. It actually worked a little. It actually worked a little bit when I was doing it. Cause some of the guys that would respond back, like, oh my God, I don't cry. What are you talking about? That is what that's for, like, crying's for the weak, or you know, like, I don't do that. What are you talking about? Oh my gosh. Or that's not a dare. What? I knew in my mind, okay, first of all, I cry all the time. So they're gonna have to feel comfortable with crying.
Yeah.
And why is it so bad that a guy cries? Everyone cries. I think that's actually amazing. And I like sensitive men. So whatever. So that weeded out a couple for me. And then, like, then if someone answered, I got some men that were so nice telling me, well, you know what? I actually, my mom died a year ago and it was her, you know, birthday the other day. And I just felt like it was, you know, it was a hard day for me. So I cried and I was like, oh my God, what a sweet man.
I know.
It's just interesting. So I'd be interested. You guys try that. Let us know if you, but
seriously.
I don't know if that weeds out anything, but I will say, I think there's certain questions that you can ask that you shouldn't be afraid to ask before you meet men or women or non-binary, whatever gender, social, sexual orientation. There are questions that you can ask each other that will help you dive a little deeper into the type of person they are before you meet them. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Or maybe you're someone that's just like, oh my gosh, I hate texting so much. I just want to meet this person tomorrow. All right, do that too. Right. But it'll be easier to weed people out. Another thing I will say is you want to weed them out before you meet them in real life, video chat with them or chat with them on the phone.
Yeah.
Literally.
I guess that's easier than going on a date.
I mean, of course, you're in your – I loved it because I was in my – wherever I was on my couch. I just
you
put
could
a little
truly
bit
just hang up.
I put a little makeup on, but like didn't really care. And we kind of both saw each other in our natural environments, and it was sort of nice.
And you could hang up if you wanted.
Yeah, and I get a sense of the person's personality, and I actually see them in real life. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
So that would be my suggestions, and. Whatever you do, try and find out who you are and love yourself for who you are and just be yourself because someone's going to fall in love with the you that you love. Okay? I think that came from Sex and the City. If you find someone to love the you that you love, well, that's just fabulous. That's the last line of the Sex and the City series.
That's funny.
So that's all I have to say about that. Do you have anything else to
No, I'm just sitting here like soaking it in.
Oh, you're like, what would it be like? Why? That would be so – you're like, thank God I'm married.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, well, I wonder like if I could even – if I would even make it in this world.
Oh, you would. Oh, stop. You're adorable. All right, guys. Well, we hope you like this episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe to our pod. We'd love a review. That would be amazing. And we'll be back next week. Go ahead.
Send some recommendations on podcast episodes you'd like to hear too.
Yeah, DM us at the angel the anxiety the anxiety.
See, that's what I would do on a date. I would show a high date. I gotta go. I feel like it's time for me to go. You'd home. Be like,
it's over. Bye. It's 2 minutes. Sorry, I'm done.
It's not you. It's me. I gotta go.
DM the anxiety chicks. DM us and let us know episodes you want. Okay?
Yes.
We're really listening to you guys these days.
We really are.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, healers. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Anxiety Chicks with Taylor and I. As always, you can find us on Instagram. You can find me, Allison Sepinera, as The Anxiety Healer, and Taylor as health_anxiety. And as always, you can check out The Anxiety Healing School. I just dropped a new course called When Panic Attacks, Triggers That Create Fear and How to Overcome Them. All about overcoming your anxious triggers and finding more awareness on what contributes to your anxious thoughts and giving you all the tools on how to overcome them. It's a self-paced course, and if there's any struggle with finances, there's a payment plan available as well. So go to theanxietyhealingschool.com to check that out. And as always, go to peakofpanic.com to check out updates about Taylor's blog and her journal she's coming out with. Thanks, everyone. Happy healing.